a shot in the dark. Wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. Woo, how's it going, kids? Episode 260. A couple of mea culpas. You got a rerun yesterday. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, man, I'm telling you. I was on the road. And I had planned, to interview, a friend of mine, Father Zach, about everything from analytical philosophy to, CrossFit. And when you schedule an interview with priests, you always have to have a backup. We just need a backup. You have to have a backup. You have to have something else ready to go, because the phone could ring. And it could quite easily be the hospital or something, and then you can't do the interview. So, lesson learned on that one. So I just got back from Flint, Michigan last night. Had a great weekend out there. The other mea culpa was, I'm sorry, I haven't. If you're listening to this, and you didn't, and you're not listening live, chances are you've now seen two podcasts drop at the same time, because I didn't give Jennifer, my producer, a description for that last show, and I forgot to do it all weekend. I was just running. Anytime I go out of town, I'm like trying to fit. I'm trying to fit this world inside my other world, and the consulting world and the radio world sometimes scrape against each other, and So there it is. I apologize if you didn't see a podcast for a while, then all of a sudden you saw like two of them drop at once. I was in Flint, Michigan this weekend, and after all of the craziness, all the just weird kind of travel stuff on the way out there, we had a good weekend. It was a really good weekend. It snowed like crazy, and so we got kind of not snowed in. In fact, they're a little more resilient about just like going, hey, I'll just run to the store and grab some stuff. I'm like, it is snowing a mile a minute and there's like 8 inches of snow fresh and they haven't plowed yet. Yeah, let's go grab some food or something. It's like, because that's how I used to be if I lived in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, if I was living in my hometown or something. I didn't think twice about it. I have become a city person where it's like, no, you don't leave and just go do something like that if there's that much snow and the roads are that bad, because people are crazy and there's a million of them. But you're like, there's not that many people here. It won't be too bad. And sure enough, we decided to cook a big meal on Sunday night. And I was annoyed. I'm going to openly admit that I was annoyed because the last time I was up, I made the curry pumpkin chicken soup. And people love the curry pumpkin chicken soup. I got crazy one day and gave the recipe on the air. I'm not going to link it, but if you really are interested, you can go back through. It's in the title. You can go back through the podcast. And so people love the pumpkin curry chicken soup. It's like that's one of my greatest hits. And so they wanted it again. And I'm like, but you've only seen one thing I can cook. I know, but we really want that soup again. It was so good. I'm like, all right. So I had to like drop my pride and go make the same thing that I made last time. And it annoyed me, but I was like, okay, fine. I shouldn't be annoyed. I should be like, wow, someone loves something I make. If they want it every day, that would be a good thing. Right. But I'm like, no, I want to show you I can do other things. And for the record, what I was going to make, I'll give you the quick recipe here. Not that hard. Get yourself, I like to use catering foils. I use like big, cause they're just easy to clean up, but you just get a big glass dish of some kind. It's got a lid on it. You could also use, tin foil or something like that. Something with a lid on it that's big and flat, not too flat, a little deep. But not like, so you're not boiling this stuff. It's not a pot. It's not, you're not a Dutch oven. This is like a big baking dish, right? It's got a cover of some kind, or that you can cover. And what you do is you cut some big chunks of like pork shoulder or pork butt or something of some kind of pork with a decent, you know, got decent fat on it. And you kind of brown those in some olive oil and then throw those in. Then you put in a can, however much, depending on how big you're making it, of some Mirglen fire roasted tomatoes. Some whole pieces of garlic, salt and pepper, a good solid splash of red wine. I like to put some white onion chopped up in it. And you can saute the white onion first in the same pan that you cooked that pork in. You could even caramelize the onion. You could do whatever you want. This is, I mean, it's like Bob Ross painting. There are no mistakes. You're just birds. You just turn the mistakes into birds. Happy little birds. So you have happy little caramelized onions. Now you can cook the onions or not cook the onions depending on what the texture you want. And then you put several sprigs of rosemary in it. And you just cook that down low and slow for a long time. Delicious. So I was going to make that big pork dish and make some roasted root vegetables and whatnot to go with it. But no, they wanted the curry pumpkin chicken soup. So we made the curry pumpkin chicken soup. And we just decided just out of nowhere, like, let's make this. All right, cool. We'll go to Kroger. And we just drove in like a snowstorm with like people sliding all over the place there. So there was that. It was kind of fun though. It was like anytime, even though we were willing to get out quicker than in Denver, it does, you know, there's still kind of like, you know, you've heard me talk about the snowstorm thing. I'm not even going to bother you with it anymore. But how I love when nature just steps in and takes over your life and makes you remember how contingent you are and shuts all your plans down. It was like that light. It was like, well, you know, it's just easier to stay in. And so we ended up kind of just hanging out, having meetings. We kind of got everybody in one place and just kind of hung out a lot. The whole team had a great weekend, brought Katie Heil from Tatanga Bomoy with me. And you heard about her travel craziness. So that was a great time. She just made so many great insights. I want to talk a little bit about that. And when I get back, later on today, Katie and Mary both up there. Katie is an integrator. She's a doer. She's an executor. And I realized just how much I need an executor in my life, not even just to earn an integrator, someone to say, that's great. When are we going to do that? At what time? Cause I will just whiteboard it. I will whiteboard it and it's perfect. Cause I haven't done it yet. It's just perfect. You know? Oh goodness. So that was fun. It was fun having several absent-minded visionaries and a couple of hard-nosed integrators slammed together for the weekend for a while. So I had to fight the temptation. Like, well, wait a minute. We haven't decided to do that yet. I mean, well, no, we just decided to. I'm like, well, wait, well, we could do other stuff. Hold on. Let's talk about what else is, what are the other options? You know, it's just like, I am such an idealist. I hate building anything. I hate doing anything. I had to overcome it with this show. Because the show is perfect when I have the notes, right? I put out this nice little set of bullet points, and it's like I picture what the show is going to be about. I imagine all the little connections between the ideas, and I kind of have it in my mind, and I'm like, oh man, that's going to be amazing. And but then you do it, and it's not perfect anymore. So Katie got two flights canceled because of the snow, mostly in Chicago. I guess it snowed like crazy in Chicago and the wind and everything. So they canceled two flights for Katie, and Katie ended up having to cover an event for Tatanga Bomoy. Shout out to Mary Prater for stepping in and helping out. And so that Katie wouldn't miss out on an event, because we just drug her up to Flint, Michigan. And then, so she ended up getting two flights canceled, ended up back on my flight on Monday. She was supposed to leave a whole day earlier than me, but she ended up on my flight, which worked out really well. So if you were, if you listen to 259, you know that, I got to the airport and got him to hold the door open for Katie. She almost froze to death on the side of a train for 30 minutes in 1 degree weather and then had to sprint through the airport. Well, suffice to say, roles were reversed because we were, our plane getting out of Flint was delayed. So when we got to Chicago, which is already a tight connection most of the time, it's just, Chicago's brutal. It was an impossible connection. And so they made us check our bags, and I had to, they made us check gate, check our bags, because the plane from Flint to Chicago is so small. So we had to stand around and wait for our bags to come out. And we finally got them. We took off going through the airport, and I told Katie, I'm just like, run on, save yourself, get on that plane. You know, it's fine. And I did my best. I was cruising as fast as I could, but I'm a big fat guy with bad knees and bad ankles. You know what? If I wouldn't have skateboarded for 14 years, if I'd known I was going to be a big fat guy, but actually I wouldn't be a big fat guy if I didn't skateboard for 14 years because I blew my back out and got fat, but I was already pudgy though. So I probably would have ended up fat, but so she got out ahead and got there in time and got them to hold the door open. And I tell you what, I got offered a cheap first class upgrade and I grabbed it, and I'm glad I did, because as she ran up, they said, are you first class? Cause they were waiting on me. They had one first class customer coming, and I think they would have left her. So she got there first and told them I was coming. So, travel with an integrator and book first class. That's the moral of the story. You're listening to The Counter Position. I am your host, Andrew Whitney.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on The Counter Position, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so talking about, I was just kind of recounting my the role reversal with me and Katie Heil and how she saved me from having to rebook. And boy, that would have sucked. I was in Chicago last night, almost missed my flight. That was the last flight to Denver on United for the night. And there were a couple of other flights on Delta and American, which they have a deal on that they could have maybe booked me on, but they were like several segments in like 5-6 hours. I would have gotten back to Denver like full on in the middle of the night. So massive, massive shout out to Katie Heil from Tatanga Bomoy for doing the straight up OJ Simpson run, like back in the old commercial before he was a pariah, that OJ Simpson run through the airport. I mean, she just trucked through the airport, got there and talked their ear off and distracted them from what time it was, and kept calling me and getting updates about where I was in the airport and talked them into holding the door open for me. So telling you, travel with an integrator too, and book first class, because I took a cheap first class upgrade because my back was killing me. And they offered me a good upgrade price. So I did. And I think they would have shut the door on me if I'd not have been first class. So that one worked out really, really well. Oh man. So, okay. So then also I want to talk about something that happened on the plane. So I always just have a couple of airport stories I want to talk about. Oh, so as I came out of Flint, I know I told you guys I was going to try to interview Joe, the shoeshine guy. He wasn't there. We got there in plenty of time. I could have got a segment with him. And I had my gear with me, And he told me he was going to be there and he wasn't. And I didn't book it or anything. I didn't like, because I didn't know if we would for sure have time to get there. But he told me he would be working all day. I don't know if he's on break or in the bathroom or what. I waited around and he never showed up. So I didn't get to do that. But so next time I get up there, I did get cards. I'm going to hook him up with Tim, Tim Goodrich. And so hopefully I might put them in the same room next time I go up and do a little interview with them or something. I always have these grand ideas about these interviews I'm going to do when I go to Flint. And we just have one meeting after another, followed by schedules being rearranged because priests have to go to hospitals and stuff like that. So I missed out on Joe. I got my flight down to Chicago, ran through the airport. So I get into my seat and I'm in the front row. And, you know, they give me some water and stuff. Okay, cool. And I settle in, you know, and before I can even get a drink or anything, you know, the flight gets kind of get going and this, they turn the lights down and this guy next to me has his like some kind of pad. I mean, iPad, something like that. Some kind of Galaxy, you know, Samsung pad or some kind of pad on a little stand. And he's got it kind of turned away from the aisle, so kind of he can see it and I can see it. And it wasn't the, so the dude's watching this show on Showtime. I saw the logo on Showtime. I don't know what the show's called. But there were parts of the show that were just like straight up might as well have been softcore porn. I mean, it's like Game of Thrones or something. Like you're watching along, sword fight, intrigue, dragons, and porn. I mean, it's just, like softcore cable porn. I'm like, really? I mean, so this dude is just like watching this show in the middle of an airport and in the middle of an airplane. Now get it. He's in the front row. Literally no one can see his screen except me, but he's got it turned and it wasn't like bad enough that I felt like I had to say, hey, could you watch something else, man? I was just reading my book, but it just dawned on me how trained we are to look at a screen if it's on and how we've trained ourselves to be screen centric. We are homo screenibus, you know, if there's a screen, we'll watch it. And I just got to, so, I mean, yeah, there was the content on the screen and I could talk about whether it's appropriate to watch something with nudity and sexual situations in a public situation, if you're the kind of guy that watches that stuff. And I'm not saying that. I'm not sitting here holding up the Holy Joe card and going, hey, you know, I'm really holy. I never watch. I watched Game of Thrones, and we tried to kind of fast forward through some of the parts, and they end up putting plot points in the middle of the bad parts. And it's like, but it was a really good show. I kind of got hooked on it. I kind of learned to look away and listen to the dialogue. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I know a lot of Catholics, a lot of really good conservative Catholics who are, let's just say they're up to date on Game of Thrones. So we, you know, regardless of what people say, we have a tolerance for that kind of thing. So I'm not going to judge the man for watching a movie or watching a TV series that's on cable that's got some sexual scenes in it or whatever. I mean, I think there are some incredible films out there that have equally graphic stuff in them that are worth watching if you're a grown up and you can handle such things. We'll have a whole show. Well, maybe I'll do a show about that at some point, nudity in film or something like that. But anyway, I was more interested in the fact that I had a book with me and I had it on a screen because I was reading on my iPhone and the Kindle app. So I had one screen in my hand and I tried to read something else that wasn't on a screen. But man, if there's a bigger screen with movement going on it, we are just programmed to turn and look at it. And he even looked at me a few times, kind of like cross-eyed, like, why are you watching what I'm watching? And I'm like, dude, we're in the dark. You're a foot and a half from me and you've got a screen on with things moving on it, you know, people fighting, people running, people talking, some, you know, lady in a wheelchair, and, you know, and sometimes in this show, naughtiness, right? And, but I realized just how hard it is to not look at a screen when you're, when it's the only one around. If there's something moving on it. Now, if you're watching something, I guess I could have just fired, got my headphones, fired up my iPhone and watched some TV on my phone through the internet on the plane. But I didn't want to do that. I was trying to read this book. I'm wanting to make some changes in the new year on the way I eat and stuff and trying to fix some mental focus and some stuff. And so I bought a book some time ago I've been meaning to read. And so I was kind of digging in it. And I was really interested in this book, you know. But I could not look at the screen, right? And it's, I've always been annoyed by that. I've always been annoyed when you go to, I went to, where was that? The View House. Down here, to hang out with Carolyn Leatherman and MJ Brennan and John Irvin was there. A bunch of people, a bunch of Catholic folks. And so we were hanging out, and it's a beautiful, cool upstairs bar. Big old fireplace, leather couches. It's all like a lodge. Good views of the mountains and everything. Awesome. And just screens everywhere. It would be a beautiful ski lodge type place. And I'm like, why? There should be like a shelf of books over there or something. But it's made to look like that. But people want to watch sports. They want to watch stuff. And so everywhere we go, there's a screen. You go in coffee houses now. And if they're not a third wave kind of like, you know, kind of hipster coffee bar or whatever, there'll be a screen in it. They'll be like sitting there with the news on. I'm like, I came to the coffee house to get some coffee and read a book, maybe write for a little bit, put down some thoughts, get away from the world for a second, have a conversation maybe, you know? No, screen. You have to see a screen. So I think we need to start paying attention to the screens in our life and how much time we spend on them, our relationship to them. I'm definitely I've been trying to reduce my screen time. The problem is this, my work takes me to the computer. My work takes me to my phone all the time. Everything has a screen on it. And I walk in the house, one of my roommates has the television on, there's a screen going. I go upstairs, I need to check email, there's a screen. Okay, it's like, we've turned into this species that has this relationship with the screen. And you see it with little kids too, man. You give a little kid an iPad and they can figure out how to get it open, how to do this. I heard a story about a friend of mine was talking about one of her daughters has learned how to open her phone and how to take selfies. Because they've done it and she's played with it enough and she's figured it out. So she finds selfies from her like toddler daughter on her phone. She'll leave her phone laying around. She'll find her phone in some random weird place. And when she gets it, there's these hilarious, you know, selfies of her little girl on her phone because she's learned how to take selfies. I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed that like little kids can learn intuitively so much, like how to use a technology so quickly. And I think, okay, cool. Then part of me is like, oh God, she's taking selfies. She's already kind of like turned inward that way. And like, I mean, we all like looking at ourselves in the mirror. We all like seeing a picture of ourselves and checking that out or whatever. And so, I'm not down on selfies. I take selfies sometimes. But it's funny. It's just like, I think the only pre-existing relationship between us and maybe the written word and maybe like dogs, that's our species only. That's where the screen is. It's like written characters and dogs. That's the level of kind of like connection we have with that. All right, let's go to the break. When we get back, I got to tell you about a cult I accidentally joined. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then how we crave a hanging in its dark.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
People singing, please don't stay, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so I told you that I accidentally joined a cult. And I did accidentally join a cult. I had no intention of joining said cult, and I accidentally did it. Like, what is he talking about? What in the world? So I was up in Flint, Michigan this weekend, and I've been working with the Catholic community of Flint. There, we're building some cool stuff. We took our plans and everything for what we're doing there to the next level, and kind of started defining the long term relationship between Calyx and what I'm doing and what we're doing there. And the project that we're working on has taken one step closer to kind of a fairly intense involvement with the university, right? University of Michigan, Flint. So, I was happy about that. I was super happy about it. You know, it's looking so much like things that I've tried to build for University of Missouri Columbia. Things that we worked on at Calyx, my coffee bar with Southeast Missouri State University, another commuter school there. And just things that I've been working on forever, just visions and dreams I've had for a university shop, you know? And so I was stoked on it. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get pretty cozy and get to know this school pretty well, looks like, and this project. I love all these people. I'm happy that I'm here. I just want to. So I was on my way out. I was with Katie, and we were the flight got delayed. So we were having a drink over in this little bar in the airport in Flint. And I went over to kind of poke my head around in the gift shop. And there was a really nice golf hat. You know, with the blue with the University of Michigan M and yellow. I guess it's maize, actually. It's a blue and maize. And so I bought this University of Michigan hat because I need a new hat. And I thought, yeah, this would be great. This will remind me of kind of like that project and remind me to pray for them and stuff. You know, so I got this University of Michigan hat. Now, I'm really good friends with Mark Giesecheck, who is my interlocutor over on the Over the Counter podcast. And Mark's coming back in January. So we should be firing up the Over the Counter podcast. So you can hear me without hearing nothing but me every once in a while. All you contrarians that listen to both will get some new episodes, hopefully. And, so Mark's from Michigan and he's a rabid Michigan fan. Right. And he told me when I was going up there the first time that football is religion in Michigan. I mean, it's like, it's not, and I had seen that. I was my second trip up to Flint. It was during the Michigan, Michigan State, game, which is like the blood feud rivalry. And there just is no middle ground, either your state or your Michigan. I mean, it just, there's no, you're green or you're blue. There's just no middle ground whatsoever. And it's to, if you, you know, and in the words of Geddy Lee from Rush, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice, you know? It's like, and so I have no dog in this race at the moment. And I'm listening to this, like, to the point that there was kind of an extended bet, you know, kind of teasing and messing with each other before the game between Father James and one of his parishioners, because James is a big Michigan guy. And so Michigan wins pretty good. And he literally in his sermon, he asked people to pray for the demise of the Michigan State football program. I mean, that's the level it is. Like, it comes out in church in this town. It's like it's more than the Broncos in Denver. I mean, you certainly see Broncos stuff around church, people rocking their Broncos gear and stuff. But I mean, it is religion up there. So I had heard that, right? And I thought, okay, in Michigan, yeah, I get it, right? So I buy this hat. I just put it on. I go to the bathroom. I look in the mirror. I am deeply shocked that I have increased my my appearance, looking more like Roger Moore, Michael Moore. I mean, by putting that Michigan hat on, it's like I gotta lose weight and shave this beard. I'm looking too much like Michael Moore. I look better than Michael Moore, for the record. But I do. I am a fat guy with a big beard and a Michigan hat. So it's like no big deal, right? I'm in Michigan. So a couple times during the wait around in Flint, someone walked by, kind of gave me the nod. You know, I'm like, okay. So I get to Denver. I mean, I get to Chicago, and I'm running through the airport. And as like I'm this big fat guy running, I mean, I see people in Michigan gear giving me the nod, right? I even got one of them's like, "Go blue." I'm like, "Oh God!" I'm like, "What in the world, man?" And so between getting off the plane in Chicago and getting off the train in Denver, I got no less than 3 "Go Blues." It's like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to wonder if I want to reevaluate this. I don't know that I want to. I didn't know I was joining a movement. I bought a hat. Okay, so yeah, I joined a cult, evidently. But you know, I came to Denver, and I was not a big football guy, and but I've gotten to be a fairly solid Broncos fan. I don't own a bunch of Broncos gear or whatever. I don't watch every game, but I would consider myself a Broncos fan, and I root for the Broncos. If I hear they're playing, I check to see how they're doing. You know, if I can't watch the game, I kind of check the score later. I'm a poor Broncos fan. I'm not rabid about it at all, but I'm more of a Broncos fan than I have ever been any other football team fan. That's for sure. Short of maybe my high school, you know, Go Raiders. You know, North County High School. Delicious, man. Go Raiders. And Michigan State and North County, my high school, same colors, blue and gold. So, is it coincidence? I don't think so. I mean, that's, what are the chances? So I don't know. Maybe I'm taking the next step. Maybe over the next couple of years, so working on this project, going there a lot, spending time in Flint, you know, maybe you'll hear me turn into some kind of like crazy rabid Michigan fan. It's possible. I like the people there for sure. So, and I like the scene. So there you go. I accidentally joined a cult. So, it's pretty funny. Speaking of like brands and cults and like that got me thinking about brands. On the way in today, I saw the weirdest thing. And this offends me more than the guy watching naughtiness on his screen in the airplane. Now this is going to sound bad. I saw what I think was a grown man. I went around the other side and passed. Might have been an older mannish looking woman. I think I'm 99% sure is a grown man driving an electronic smart car, bright pink, branded hard, custom branded, like not like stickers, like branded, like a wrap, like branded Hello Kitty. Now, I mean to tell you what, I mean, to each his own, I don't care if you're into it, but there are some things in this world that offend me. And a grown man rocking a Hello Kitty car, and it's not even a real car. It was like this. It's a glorified go-kart. This guy is rocking this glorified electric go-kart down my 25, down my highway, the highway I drive on, the highway I drive a finely tuned, falling apart piece of German machinery. This man was driving an electric go-kart branded with Hello Kitty all over it. I was deeply offended. I was offended by this go-kart. Why would a grown man drive something that is branded with Hello Kitty? My God, I could understand bronies more than I could understand that. You know, I mean, that's creepy. If you talk about a weird scene, there are grown men that are like crazy deep into My Little Pony. I mean, they get tattoos and stuff. Like, I mean, they're like, they call them bronies. They're bros that are into My Little Pony. They call them bronies. And I would rather be a brony than rock a, I would definitely be a brony rather than rock a Hello Kitty electric car. I mean, that's just disgusting. I'm offended by that. So if you're listening and you're that guy in Denver that drives a Hello Kitty car, this is a public service announcement. Come on, man. Really? Why? No. Don't do that. Why? Just don't do. Why would you do that? Thank you. This has been a counterposition public service announcement / blinding flash of the obvious. That's a new segment, I'm telling you. I needed to start like having it every day. And now for the blinding flash of the obvious / public service announcement. All right, so I think the next time I'm up, I'm going to get a coffee cup. I'm going to get a Michigan coffee cup. And that way I'll be rocking it when I'm not wearing the hat. And I'm just going to keep a running tally. I'm at 3 now. I'm going to keep a running tally of how many Go Blues I get. And we can find out just how deep the rabbit hole goes. All right, listening to the counterposition, I am your host, Andrew Whaley. We'll come back for the fourth lap. See you in a second.
Then all the color glass that painter's palettes mash, all the colors of my soul.
If you enjoy listening to Andrew Whaley on the counterposition, you should become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love bedecked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, here we go. The fourth lap, the final segment. The fat boy is running the final lap of the open mile. I was thinking about that when I was trying to like run through the airport, which it was funny. When I went to Flint this weekend, my foot was hurting a little bit. My knees were feeling kind of weak. I was kind of getting that autoimmune thing I get. I just get this arthritis that kind of comes and goes. And it comes like in both knees at once. And sometimes it'll just be kind of like on the outside of one knee, then it goes away. It's just kind of a weird inflammation. It like causes things to be weak and hurt, and then it goes away. Then I feel great, right? And it kind of went away over the weekend. I felt pretty strong by the end of the weekend. And my knees and my ankles weren't really hurting at all. And I was climbing and going up and down stairs, no problem, full speed. And I was kind of thankful because the rectory I stay in Flint has a couple flights of stairs. And sometimes it just, it's a little something, you know, I have to take one stair at a time whenever my knees or my left Achilles tendon is the main one that kind of gets me, you know? So that wasn't hurting over, you know, after about 2 days there, it stopped hurting and I felt great all weekend. And so I ended up running through the airport, and you know, a supple, flexible word. I was jogging. I was trotting. I was kind of doing the speed walk, but kind of breaking the hip, where you when you do those speed walking things, you can't, there's like certain joints you can't like move past a certain point or you're considered running, you know. I was kind of just going past that point. I was kind of doing a mild trot, if you will. And I was surprised by it. I was like, all this swimming has helped, because I'm a big fat guy. I'm moving a lot faster on ground than I normally do. And I'm dragging something. I got something over my shoulder. I'm heavy and I'm a big dude and I've got stuff with me. And I was making some decent time for a man my size. But what shocked me is I wasn't super out of breath. The knees and all that are the issue, but I wasn't. All the swimming I've been doing has gotten me some cardiovascular kind of fitness, I think, because I wasn't winded. I mean, I was able to handle it. I wasn't sweating super bad and I wasn't like, you know, huffing. I made it pretty good. I just couldn't go very fast, you know, just, you know, objectively. So I was thinking about just people were watching this fat guy run and I wanted to stop running, but I couldn't stop running. I was going to miss the flight. And I was thinking, this is just like the open mile back when I was running track in high school. I'm telling you, Coach Martin, Coach, what's that guy's name with the black mustache? I'll think of him in a second. He's a social studies teacher. They're all like social studies teachers, right? Anyway, those guys, one of these days, I'm going to get my revenge for making me run that mile. we should just go back. One of these days, if I become very famous, someone's going to take the time to go back and listen to all the four segments. Find all the places where I've griped about this. Add them up into a montage. And it's just going to be this montage of me just griping about the open mile. Not a very deep show today. All right, let's go. Let's switch gears. Go a little deeper for the final segment. And I have a really big picture kind of more question than I thought. So a friend of mine tagged me in a post talking about kind of the new love affair between the alt-right and American nationalists with Putin in Russia. And it's interesting. It seems like Russia is just in the nation, and it's basically positioning itself as the nation that is fighting against globalism. They are the nationalist state. They want to be a free agent acting on their own. They want to have trade. You know, they're kind of getting this, they're kind of positioning themselves as that. And as such, a lot of alt-right kind of nationalists are kind of aligning themselves with Putin. And then obviously this has been right in the middle of the news because there is accusations that Russia interfered with the election. Now, I'm curious if, let's say Russia did put a bunch of fake news out there. I love this new idea of fake news. I'm going to do a show on fake news at some point. Because that's a really slippery term. I mean, obviously there is some fake. I mean, on one level, there's like crazy fake news, like, you know, The Onion, or over in the Catholic world, there's Eye of the Tiber. There in the rest of the Christian world, there's the Babylon Bee. But there's been this new thing where it's comedy satire, but it's not written in a way that, unless you're really, really careful, that you would know it's satire. And then there's kind of become this new thing, which is straight up fake news. It is people, it's not completely fake in a sense. They're taking conspiracy theories and things that have been rumored and then just reporting them. Sometimes they're just straight up making stuff up, obviously, but sometimes they're taking like something that was rumored to happen but wasn't proved and reporting it in a way that's like a full on news story, right? But let's say hypothetically Russia did put a bunch of that stuff out. Now that's very different. If Russia got in and like hacked, you know, voting machines or something like that, that's a whole different ballgame. But if some foreign agent put a bunch of disinformation and propaganda out on the internet and people bought into it and voted because of it, well, I mean, there is that. I mean, if people want to be idiots and listen, I mean, we listen to propaganda on both sides of everything. Everybody, we seem to love propaganda when it's against our enemies in America. Is that kind of like, it's dirty pool, but is it like completely out of bounds? I mean, propaganda is a really old tool in political warfare, so to speak. So I don't, yeah. That's an interesting thing, but I'm more interested in this idea that it seems like Russia is developing a model, as best I can understand, that they kind of have a really heavy hand inside the country. They don't really have a great regard for personal freedom and, people being able to act on their own and determine themselves within their country, but they do have but they're kind of positioning themselves as like Russia, is some state being free among the globalist kind of nation, so to speak, that they're positioning themselves in this kind of like free state position, but not having that same attitude towards the people within. And I think that's a really bad precedent. I'm all for kind of like pulling back, renegotiating some treaties, maybe pulling some military bases and kind of like, being American in America, doing our things and playing cool and nice and open with the world and like trading and exchanging ideas and having relationships, but kind of doing our thing. I'm kind of okay with that. I think that we've gotten a little too extended and gotten all up in other people's business a little more than is healthy. But I think the primary idea is this real solidarity and subsidiarity kind of balanced within the country too is equally important. And those two issues used to go together. The two issues, kind of like the people that loved our American founding, the people that love real serious solidarity in the American founding, limited government. That's the word I was looking for. I kept wanting to say liberal, limited government. And more Jeffersonian kind of strain in the early founding. Those people have also been, they've been kind of equally kind of nationalistic or even isolationist at times, but also really big on kind of a almost libertarian level of personal freedom inside the country. And it seems like Russia is putting a different vision out there that's almost more more king-like. That's a monarchical. I'm about to look. How does that word go? And I'm just kind of a little freaked out by the alignment between the American alt-right suddenly kind of being okay with a heavy hand inside they're being okay with a country that has a heavy hand inside, but demands kind of some autonomy within the community of nations. So it's just something I want to throw out there, and I'm a moron. I don't know anything about global politics, so don't listen to me. I'm always saying I'm not an expert. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a catechist when I do theology, even more so when I start doing foreign policy. I'm just a guy asking questions and musing on what the answer might be. And I'm also a guy that's going to pull the plug, pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. Thanks for coming out.
I take your place in my old stone. I take your place in my old stone.